Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form 10 Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha and much mahalo, everybody. I'm so excited tonight. I've got an incredible show like we always have, but tonight's show is very special because I've got an old Kempel pioneer on, and I'm going to bring him on here in a few minutes. But before I do, the producer has put us on the air for 7 years, and he's got a big weekend this weekend coming up. I want to bring him on the air. His name is Hanchi Jesse Bowen. Hanchi Bowen, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
Are you excited? I've got my seatbelt on, so tell everybody what's going on with your weekend this weekend in Las Vegas, please.
Well, it's actually next weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
And, so it's next. I was thinking it was this week myself, and I discovered it was next weekend, so I got a whole nother week of had a chance to get things done. But yeah, we're in Vegas and we're, you know, planning on being live and virtual. We are celebrating Ernie Reyes in a tribute along with Ron Van Cleef. And we have two new books coming out. And one of them is called Martial Artists Changing Lives. And the book is really about book of biographies, a biography book. And it's about martial artists telling their story and how that the martial arts has empowered their lives and therefore changing the lives of others, which are their students. And then we have the martial arts extraordinaire, and Saunders is on tonight, so he's actually featured in the book. And this is about martial artists with 50 or more years. Now, the martial arts is really still new in the U.S. And, you know, when you have people that have been around in the martial arts for 50 years, you have to think about that. That's a long time. That's a long time. So what we're trying to do with the book is to really share and keep their stories alive and share their stories. And there's so many people that don't know who Steve Muhammad is. They don't know who some of those other early, Victor Moore. They don't know who these people are. And to try to keep these stories up and in front of people, we have two magazines coming out, the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers magazine is coming out. So we're really excited about that for the second edition. Because Moses Powell is going to be on the front cover of that book, and it's going to be some story in there, a lot of really great articles. And then we have another magazine coming out next week, and that is called The Extraordinary Martial Artist. And that magazine is to support that 50-year group. But, you know, just a lot of really incredible things happening, even though that we're in a pandemic. We're still doing a lot of different things. In fact, Dr. Williams, his book just came out this weekend, so you guys have to check it out. And it's titled More Than a Martial Artist, and it's a really exciting book, and we had the honor to publish that for him. And so it's a really exciting book. Actually, he's given an award to several people. In fact, the Chuck Norris book is receiving an award for Martial Arts Biography Book of the Year. So there's just so many incredible things we've got going on. We're looking for new members to join our organization. So if someone is looking to be proactive and be a part of an organization that's really trying to make a difference, we invite you to go to our website, Who's Who in the Martial Arts, and become a member.
Well, I'm so excited because, I know that our show is up for an award. And also,
right, exactly.
I talked to Harry, and Harry Mock is my my brother from another mother. I know he's one of your guest speakers. A lot of people are excited about what's going on. And I want to thank you so much for allowing the museum, the Sport Friday Museum, to be a part of your journey. Thank you so much, Archie Bowen.
Well, first, it's a very important part of, you know, the history of Sport Karate and the work you're doing.
Yes, sir.
So this is great. We're glad to be a part of it.
Well, you know, I got really excited today. I'm going to share this with you. You know, I've been going to physical therapy since the stroke. You know, I just started physical therapy, but I walked 206 steps today, Hanchi. I mean,
wow.
I know, 206 steps. So God bless you for being my motivation and inspiration of what you've done for the museum. I really appreciate what you do and all the history journalists do too. So God bless you, Auntie Jessica. Thank you.
You too, sir. Thank you.
God bless you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Auntie Jesse Bowen. And I was off. I thought it was this weekend, but next weekend, Las Vegas, there'll be his big event. So if you want to contact Jesse Bowen, you can contact him through Messenger or Facebook and are the AMAA Radio Network. Now, I'd like to introduce my co-host. These are the two guys that have been put up with me for a couple of years now. And the first guy we introduced is Dean Piles. Are you there? Dean, where are you at?
Hi.
What are you doing, animal?
Hey. Training, and we're actually right in the middle of working fight scenes for the movie. Yes,
well,
sir.
I'm excited. I've got a great
doing good,
AJ.
How you, buddy?
Good, buddy. You're a Kempo guy, too. And ladies and gentlemen, Dean Piles is a world champion, and he's a real deal guy. And I've got him throughout the show, but Dean is my I'll tell you what, make a long story short. Joe let me adopt him before he passed away, Mr. Joe Lewis. And Joe raised Dean Piles, so, you know, I'm very lucky to have him in my arsenal. You are my arsenal.
Thank you, sir.
You know that. Anyway, my other co-host, the guy that I love, he's a Yankee cracker. His name is A.J. Perry. Where you at, A.J.? Are you there?
How you doing, Professor?
Hey, man. How you doing? Now, ladies and gentlemen, A.J. Perry Kang-Tsu-Do martial artist that been around a long time, but you know what? I guess I like him because he does. He's known to do some crazy stuff, I guess, like I used to do. He puts nails in his arms. He walks on glass. He's crazy, but he's a Tang-Soo-Do artist, and he's the real deal. AJ, did I introduce you good enough?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good.
Hey,
Gary. How you been, buddy?
Hanchi was just talking about Victor Moore. You know, he lived in Cleveland for a long time.
Yeah. Victor is a bad, bad dude. Now, speaking of bad dudes, I'm excited. I mean, I really am. When I first came to the mainland, you know, I got to meet some incredible people, but I never got to meet him till 4 months ago when he came to Houston. Now, this is he's a hero. He's a Kempo animal. I'm talking about Mr. Steve Muhammad, better known. He's also known as Steve Sanders from the old days, but he's Mr. Muhammad. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, first of all, may I call you Steve tonight, please?
Yes, sir. You can call me Steve.
Thank you so much. Well, Steve, you know, you're one of the great Kempo fighters, and the reason why I'm excited about talking to you, you know, I was a Sherman Oak Raider for 12 years, and I got to hang out with people like Leo Greer and Ray Wizard and Drew Christian and Alvin Crowder and Barry and so many cool people, and they all mentioned the BKF and the history of the BKF. Now, I know you were one of the great fighters of the BKF, and the other thing I'm going to tell my listeners, I remember sitting in the audience at the Long Beach International, and you beat a guy so fast. It was incredible. And then throughout the years since I've had the Sport Crowder Museum, people talk about how fast, unnaturally fast Steve Muhammad is. Now tell me a little about your history, Mr. or Steve. When did you make black belt, and who did you make black belt under, please?
I made black belt in 1966, and I made it under Chuck Sullivan.
Oh, the great Chuck Sullivan. Cool. Now, how did you become so fast? I mean, did you do practice, or did you do something different, or are you just unnaturally gifted? How did you become so fast in your hands?
Well, there's something in the science of fighting that is called distance, angles, time, and cut. I found that in fighting, starting fighting in tunnels, all that you have in order to be able to do an offense against your opponent. And you remember that back in the day, we were taught defensive tactics, not offense.
Yes, sir.
And I found it was very difficult when your body want to go in motion towards your opponent to get him or he can get you. So that science of fighting had to be created. Distance, angles, timing, and targeting. And when you fight the body, whether you know it or not, the body speaks a language when you're fighting it. It speaks a language of front, back, right, left, and anything in between that is still coming forward, back, right, or left. But what you have to do, you have to have what I call brain sight, which means to see and identify to be able to attack the angles. And I only have two angles that I use in the science of fighting, and that is 45 and 90 degrees. And the body speaks a language also of 45 and 90 degrees. When it makes movements, duck, bend, whatever it does, it will speak an angle of 45 and 90 degrees. And what you have to do is teach your brain to attack those angles with no delay.
I knew tonight was going to be special because you just shared a master's class on my radio show, and I want to thank you because the people that listen who are martial artists realize what you just did. You just taught a master's class, and I love that. I love that. I love that. Now, I got to ask you, so this is called Parts Unknown. Who was your toughest fighter, Steve? Who's the guy that gave you the most run for your money?
You know that most people don't know him, but they knew him when I think I was either brown belt or black belt. I can't remember which one I was at the time. But his name was Phil Corning. He was from San Francisco, California, I think it was.
I think I remember that name because the people I hung out in the early years was Dana Carter and Robert Halliburton and Stuart Kwan. I mean, some early, you know, in the early 70s. That name sounds familiar.
It was. He was from San Francisco, but he was either Hawaii. He was Hawaiian, not or Samoan.
Well, I was in San Francisco. I was in Modesto, California. But you know, I got the. Be around a lot of those San Francisco guys too. But when I first moved here, I lived in Chinatown on King Street, you know, in Aquin. And I got involved. Now, the other thing I want to ask you that I got some response from is that who influenced you most in the Kempo community?
Say that again. It's kind of
in the Kempo community, as far as Kempo, who influenced you most besides Mr. Sullivan, of course? But there's so many people in the Kempo community. I just wondered if there's some people that influenced you. I mean, because you're a pioneer. You've given so much to so many people. But I'm sure there's people that you might admire. Was there anybody that you admired in the Kempo community?
Oh, yes, sir. There were other people that I admired, but the ones that I actually learned was Great Grandmaster Parker and Chuck Sullivan. I remember seeing Great Grandmaster Parker move one day, and I said, and I didn't really know who he was, and this is a big guy. I was pretty quick, and I said, well, he's not going to be as fast as I am. And I watched him move. My God, I said, this guy move, and when he move on the floor, he brings tons, you know. And I said, and he's not slow either. So that I admire him considerably because I had never seen a man that big and was that fast. And that was
yes,
Chuck Sullivan. He was my
well, you know, I should, you know, a couple weeks ago I was in Las Vegas, and I was very honored to be put into Mr. Parker's Kempo Hall of Fame. I made, in 1983, sir, I'm so proud I get to tell you this, I made black belt under Mr. Parker at the Lama Nationals and Colonel Jack Farr. Do you remember Colonel Jack Farr? He was from Colorado.
I don't.
Under Mr. Parker. Now, you mentioned people that influence you is Mr. Parker. Now, what was it like winning the internationals and competing in that level of competition? And being the star that you were, what was it like being around Mr. Parker?
That was the time that all tournament. They had a guy, let me see if I can remember his name, but he was a lightweight, and I was going to fight him that year. And what Parker done, he called me one day and told me, he said, come down to the school in Santa Monica. There's a guy coming down. I want to take a kill with him. And so we went down. Carlos Bunda was his name. Carlos Bunda. And he brought Carlos Bunda down. And he was the international champion at the time. And I had just made black belt. He wanted to take a kill. He brought this guy down. You know, and when I started to fight him, I said, man, this guy's like a Tasmanian devil. He's all over the place at me.
You know what? I remember that name too, Carlos Bunda. I remember. That was a long time ago.
Yes, that was in the mid-60s or something.
Yes, sir. Now, I want to ask you, is your lovely wife around, Connie? Is she around?
Yes, sir, she sure is.
I want to speak to her a minute. Can you put her on the phone for a minute, please?
Oh, yes, sir. How are you, Professor?
Hey, Connie, how are you?
I'm doing great, great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, I understand that if somebody would like to help Steve in doing what he's doing now in Atlanta, how would people help Steve if they wanted to help Steve? Can you give me a short description how to get in contact with him, please?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. He has a virtual karate class, a Zoom class that he does every Thursday evenings and mornings. You can go to our website, which is www.karateofthegods.com, and you will find more information about the Zoom classes that we have on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And also, if someone would like to make a donation, they can go to that website as well to help with his school that he has here in Atlanta.
Now, how long have you been with with Mr. Muhammad?
Oh, we have been married for 36 years.
Wow. So, I mean, you've been around him through the karate and everything. Now, have you trained before? Have you trained?
Oh, yes, sir. He's helped me tremendously. He's my teacher as well. He's my teacher.
Well, you know, I wanted to get you on the air a little bit tonight because I want you to understand that there's a lot of people that respect the ladies beside the men to become what they become. And we want to just say we're doing the Power of Women in October, but we just want to say thank you, Connie, and thank you for being such a supportive of Mr. Muhammad. It really means a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, I love my husband, and I love what he does, and he definitely eats, sleeps, and drinks martial arts every single day. So he's been doing that since I've been with him.
Well, I want to apologize to interested in getting back on the air because I made you get on the air. So thank you, Connie. Thank you.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you for allowing us this platform. Here's my husband.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I pulled a fast one on you, didn't I?
Yes, sir, you did.
Well, you know, I really believe this, and you're going to understand why. When I first came to the mainland, I lived in a quote, you know, a kung fu school, and I hated it, to be honest with you. I hated kung fu. I didn't like the black tops. I didn't like arrogance. I just wanted to hit people, you know. And my adopted father, that's where I got the name Lee. And anyway, he didn't allow me to fight till 6 months in the quote. And then one night, he goes, "You can fight tonight." And I said, "Okay, good." So this is before equipment, right? So I started wrapping my hands up and stuff. And he goes, "Susan!" I said, "Susan!" I said, "Sister, please don't let me fight a girl the first night I get to fight." He says, "No. If you fight Miss Quinn, you fight Susan first." We'll make a long story short. When I woke up, she knocked me out with a wheel kick. I had instant respect for girls, for the unknown, for kung fu. I mean, honest Steve, I just wanted to hit people when I first came here to the mainland. I never dreamed I'd be knocked out by a girl. Have you ever fought a woman before? A lot? Or any women?
No, sir. No women.
No women? I'm not talking about competition. But, you know, there's a lot of great girls, a lot of great women. Have you ever met Linda Denley or Cynthia Rothrock? Great women.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, Linda Denley, she lives in Houston. She's one of my best friends. And, you know, she used to come to my fight club in the early 80s, and she would be the only woman there. And she'd fight all the men, Ernie Radar Smith, Jimmy Gato Gabarras, everybody, Al Garza. It was crazy, man, because nobody wanted to fight a girl, but Linda could fight. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah, there were fights.
Yes, sir. Now, you teach a virtual class, so anybody around the world could learn from Steve Sanders. Is that correct? I mean, Mr. Muhammad, is that correct?
That is correct.
Cool. Now, again, I want to mention the fact that you teach physically in Atlanta too, or you just teach virtually?
I have some private students that I also, but mainly it's a virtual class.
Cool. Now, I got it. This is parts unknown, so I'm going to ask you, Steve, do they realize who they're training with? I mean, the history of Steve Muhammad, do they really understand?
No, sir. They don't have any idea. Maybe
now, do you have children? Do you have kids?
I sure do.
Do you? Are they boys or girls?
Boys and boys or girls.
Well, let's talk about them a little bit. Are they influenced in the martial arts?
Yes, sir, they are, including my wife. She's a black belt, fifth degree.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, Connie probably thought I was just talking through the wall. Well, that's cool. Now, how old is your oldest sibling?
My oldest is a girl. She's 36.
Oh, 36. And they're black belts, too.
Say it again?
Are they black belts, too?
No, sir, they are not.
Oh, well, that's still cool. They're ladies. So I really would like to honor them in October, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, I want to ask, you know, I'm going to keep you on the air, please, and I'm going to bring you back in a minute. We're going to play the Legends Dame game. Now, this is something I invented with Bob White. You remember Mr. White, Bob White?
Oh, yes, sir. I talk to him every day.
Well, Bob and I invented this 7 years ago. Now, this is where I say a name, and you got 2 minutes to talk about them, okay? And I'll bring you back in just a few minutes, Steve, and we'll play the Legends name game. So will you stay on the air, okay? Don't go nowhere, okay?
Yes, sir, I will be on the air.
Okay, I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the great Steve Muhammad, a Kempo legend. But we've got an incredible show for tonight. And tonight, the 6th, which you know now that we've introduced it, we put together 6 different people from 6 parts of the country, and we talk about topics that maybe some people don't like to talk about, don't want to talk about, or don't know what to talk about. But tonight we're going to talk about leadership. Leadership, which I think is very important among the martial arts. And being a leader is more than just being a person in karate tournaments or teaching in a school. Being a leader has been a leader for life. But I'll let my 6 talk about it. Karen, are you there? Karen Slatcher?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Karen Slatcher, pioneer, PKL, legend in the martial arts. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed. I am just happy to be here.
Well, how do you feel about leadership?
Well, since I only have about a minute, I think that the main thing about leadership, especially as a teacher and a martial artist in this world, is how you have to remember that you are an example. Always being watched by your students or their families. And so at tournaments and events, you have to make sure that you can always act like a lady or a gentleman, especially when you're judging and competing. No screaming, hollering, no showing off, none of that. From that point on, leadership in the martial arts is about leading the other people in the martial arts, teaching them how to be humble and how to act as a professional and how to have a high moral code, because that's what you have when you tie that belt on and step into the sensei role or the sifu role. You take on a higher calling, and you have to walk your talk and act like it all the time, even when you don't want to, even when you're with your friends at the tournament and you want to carry on. You cannot do it. It's something that you have to realize. That it's part of the job.
Well, you're certainly a leader, and you've been a leader as long as I've known you, and I've known you for years, and your opinion is so appreciated. Now, I've got a very, very special surprise. We didn't get Dr. Williams, are you there?
I'm there, sir.
Well, I want to say, first of all, we missed you. We missed you. Now, you've been through an injury, and you're a present champion, but you're also a television personality now. So I really want to get your opinion. How do you feel about leadership, John?
Well, first of all, I apologize for the last couple of weeks of not being on. I know I have a minute, and I won't take up all my time, but I ripped my left rotator cuff, my right rotator cuff is ripped, and I got a tear in my neck. But I should have been sitting down when I was trying to do one more tournament. But, you know, that's what warriors do. My thing is, for leaders, it's good to be a leader, but we also must remember that we must be able to follow as well. If we think we can do it all and know it all, then we might run into some problems. But a good leader will sit and listen to someone that they may think is less than them, because everybody have a voice and everybody have something positive or some good information that they can share with each other. It's not always our way or the highway. I believe if we sit and listen, that's the part that really makes a good leader, to listen to, you know, others and help them in an area they may be weak in.
Well, I can
say for all of us, John.
I can say for all of us. All of us. I mean that not only the six, but Auntie Bowen and Dr. Lee. We missed you, buddy. And we did. And you know me,
thank
I'm one of the most persistent people in the world. But you know,
well, when they have you on morphine and all that stuff, I didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Well, you just take care of yourself, and I'll give you a call. And we got a lot of cool things coming out. Now, you're the guest speaker in October, along with Mr. Minshew and Colonel Phil Torres and Karen Eden Herdman. And we're looking forward to what you're going to be speaking to all the women October 1st of the Power of Women. So, John, thank you for your opinion. Now, moving
thank
along
you.
To six, I've got an incredible, incredible person. He is the co-founder of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation, who was Cliff Stewart, God bless him, rest in peace, and Mr. Ron Chappelle. And together they had a vision. Put together a group of, we'll talk about that later. But the main thing is, he is an important person in the community. He also worked for Black Belt Magazine. He was Joe Lewis's student. He actually gave me Joe Lewis's Black Belt 3 years ago. This is an important man in the martial art community. I'm talking about Uncle Jerry Smith. Are you there, Jerry?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, sir? I know that you just got back from the hospital today from a procedure, and we're so thankful that you're giving us a few minutes to talk about leadership. How do you feel about leadership, Jerry? Uncle Jerry?
Well, leadership. There's something in Bushido called the seven virtues. And It's a warrior code. It's not just about, you know, fight, but it's also looking out for those who don't have, keeping your word. And, one of the things about being, especially coming out of the Marine Corps, built some of the best leaders that you can possibly ever have.
Hurrah!
Yeah. Because in combat, men have to count that they have to actually respect and believe their leaders. So I really have to give the Marine Corps a lot of credit for the way that I see leaders. And, you keep your word when you give your word. Before, when my brother took me down to El Toro, California, to put me on the plane to go to Vietnam. He says, Jerry, he goes, what? He says, I got something to tell you. I said, what? He said, don't ever lie, cheat, or steal from another man. Because even if they don't like you, they'll respect you. I never forgot that. And good leaders will always stand apart because men will look up to them and follow them.
Well, you know how important you are to me personally, but I want you to take it easy, okay? I want you to take care of yourself, and I'll give you a call later on this evening or tomorrow, okay? God bless you, Uncle Jerry. God bless you, everybody. Now, moving right along with the six, my co-host, who I introduced earlier, he is a master. Now, you guys know me. I don't say the word grandmaster. I don't say the word master a lot. But this man deserves it. He is a master in Taekwondo Do, Karate Do. And he's an amazing man. But he's my co-host. And I want his opinion. AJ.
Hey, how are you? Thank you. That was very nice.
What about leadership? Tell me about leadership. What do you feel
about? Well, leadership is an individual leading or a path to obtain a certain goal or goals with an individual or group of individuals that wouldn't necessarily obtain that goal without the following. And you know, in martial art, to reiterate what Dr. Williams said about listening, you know, well, number one, humor is a big part of leadership. And, you know, within the martial arts, a lot of times there isn't any of that because people always want to be serious. But what Dr. Williams said about listening, you know, he hit the nail on the head because I think sometimes martial arts lacks this, is that mentoring, you know, possibly like a fifth or sixth degree black belt, a high-ranking master, a lot of times the high-ranking masters want to be heard or demonstrating in a seminar or what have you, rather than letting a lower don, maybe a fifth or sixth don, be heard or, you know, demonstrate and give a seminar and critiquing them afterward rather than the high-ranking master be heard, if that makes sense. You know, there needs to be that leadership and guidance as far as handling people. That's very important in martial art, is people skills.
Yes, I believe that. Now, speaking of people skills, this next gentleman, part of the six, is the president of the Amateur Organization of Karate in Texas. It governs the sport karate in Texas. And I've known him since literally he was an orange belt. But now he's a high-ranking flat belt, runs schools, and he's got a following that's amazing. But he's also a Golden Greek winner. And most of you guys know that that's the MVP of Texas. And I think he's won it like 5 or 6 times. But I lost count after 3. But the bottom line is he's an amazing man. David, are you there?
I am here, sir.
Hey, buddy, you owe me a check is in the mail, right, for that introduction.
I'll do that.
Anyway, how you doing, buddy?
Fantastic.
Well, tell me how you feel about leadership. After all, you are the president of the AOK. What is the leadership to you, buddy?
Ray Marshall, David Sampson, Master Nick, Antonio and Chandra Tubbs, Antonio Anderson, Jacoby Gildress, Broderick Maxey, Pastor Brody, Emily Mills, in the future. One of the best things about leadership is to create leadership. If you can actually be a person that could be a part of somebody becoming a leader, becoming a great leader, becoming someone that can influence other people, I believe that's the best leadership quality that can be. A fruit is sometimes the demonstration of who you are. So a tree is a lot of times is known by the fruit. So then if you can actually produce, and I'm blessed to watch some of these young men and young ladies grow up and watch them become leaders. I saw Broderick Maxey. He called me one day and said, Master Chambers, I want to know if is it okay for me to give money to help some of the kids who couldn't afford sparring gear or rain tests, et cetera. So he said, can I donate X amount of money per quarter? Now, this is a dude that's in his late 20s, early 30s. I'm not sure. He's one of my students. But he want to give back to the community. He saw the effect that it had on him. And he want to be a leader. And he's helping other students become a leader. That is by far the best example. I'm blessed. I had Grandmaster Fred A. Simon.
Yes.
Grandmaster Simon, one of the best black belt's best men out there.
He was actually the first brother, the first black American to make Baba under Master Junior Reed, rest in peace. And, you know, he's an amazing man, and I'm proud to be one of those little babies.
That is beautiful. I'm proud of you. Someone like, you know, Grandmaster Simon to be the one tutoring you, and then behind that, you know, or ahead of that, the great Grandmaster Jun Reed. No, that's again fruit of a tree that's strong. And I'm excited to say I want to see more leadership, you know, being produced. And I'm blessed.
Yeah.
I have Jacoby Gilbert watching my own son bring students and compete with my students. That's phenomenal. I'm watching other students grow. That is my favorite part of life, is to watch.
Well, God bless you,
D.
Thank you for your opinion. You mean so much to me and your history and what you're doing for Texas. And I want to say thank you so much for what you're doing now. Well, I want to bring on the last part of the sick, and he is my student, but he's an opinionated person. I want to talk about Dean Piles. Dean, are you there?
Here, sir.
Tell me, how do you feel about leadership?
Leadership is you do what I say, when I say, how I say. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, look, I always say with leadership, I lead from the front. I feel like a leader should lead from the front. And what I mean by that is, you know, you don't just tell your students what to do. A lot of instructors will get out there and they'll say, okay, this is how you do a jump 360 spin kick. I want you to do this, do that. They tell them, but they don't demonstrate it. I feel like you should get out there and demonstrate that technique to your students. Like, for instance, I come in and I work out. I get a good, hard cardio conditioning workout, which we won't mention any of that. My cardio was brought into question. I don't know why, but we found out how awesome it was. But, you know, I get the cardio conditioning in. I get the strength training in. And then I get my skills in. My students see me going over my empty hand kata, my weapon kata, my bunkai, the self-defense, everything we do, every aspect, they see it. And that's what I say we're leading from the front. That way when I ask them, hey, have you done your cardio conditioning today? Yes, sir. Hey, have you worked your flexibility today? Yes, sir. Hey, have you worked your strength training? Yes, sir. All your techniques, because you have to work all of it. But if your students don't see a good leader doing the same thing, you know, they lose. The students may do what the instructor says, but they still lose that respect for them because they don't see them training and doing what they're asking them to do. Now, you know, there's instances where, you know, at one of these days, you know, I mean, I have diabetes, brought on by some overseas stuff, but, you know, there may be one of these days where I'm not able to demonstrate stuff like I once did, but the fact of the matter is, if I have students there that saw me work it up until I couldn't, and even continue to try it, even maybe after I'm not physically able, they go, this guy has a never give up, never quit attitude, and they try to adopt that attitude, and that builds that same leadership skills in your students, so that when your students carry on your legacy and they go to teach, they have that never give up, lead from the front attitude that is going to be appealing to their students. And what that will breed is it will make your whole school a literal group of warriors instead of wannabes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where, hey, yeah, I want to do that, but I'm not doing all that other stuff because they don't see it being performed and done. Do you know what I'm saying?
You are a leader of leaders. You are. And, you know, I don't say that because you're part of my arsenal. I say that because I know what you are and what you do. And now don't go anywhere because I'm going to bring you back in a minute with your alter ego, the Wolverine. But before I got to bring on Dr. Reginald Lee. Did you ever make it on the air, Dr. Lee?
Yes, I'm here, sir. I'm sorry I got here so late.
Hey, it's okay.
How you doing?
I know I'm doing great. I know you're out there in the hospital dealing with a lot of things, the pandemic and all the medical stuff you do, but you've taken the time to invent something really cool. It's virtual reality to the extreme, doing what we call Set VR, that app. Now, I want you to explain a little bit what it is and how the Sport Karate Museum is involved. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Reginald Lee. Go ahead, Reggie.
Yes, sir. First of all, I want to say that my hat's off to you, sir, on your rehab. I'm personally super excited on your progress and perseverance, and also about the amazing speakers that you bring on the air on a weekly basis. I just want to mention that, sir. That's very important to me. We are super excited. We've moved the excitement bar up where we said we are. We've introduced the History Portal demo to be the backdrop to the future development Professor Garley's vision of having a history portal in virtual reality. My partner, Richard Shanahan, my marketing director, Marie Shanahan, and my developers are excited about SetVR, Self-Defense Enhancement Training in Virtual Reality, as a platform whereby you can practice your skills in self-defense whenever, whatever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere you travel, and even during the pandemic, you can continue to practice while practicing social distancing. With the Oculus Rift or Oculus Quest headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal of SetVR is to have you to be able to neutralize the attack or threat that is sudden, unpredictable, and random. To practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements. As mentioned by your colleagues, your guest speaker, Mr. Mohammed, move angular, linear, and circular movements. Movement is very important in martial arts. That is a skill, a technique that it takes years to develop, which is the basic fundamentals of trying to improve and to neutralize your opponent. To avoid and to place you in an opportunity position is an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy as you practice to develop muscle memory and subsequently my goal to develop a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. The important thing aspect about winning a interaction is to neutralize without hesitation. That's the important. Just like if you placed your hand on a hot stove, you remove your hand on a hot stove, or if I tap on your knee and create a knee jerk, that is a reflex response. That is the goal of SetVR. The platform to have you practice what you've been taught in schools and programs informs for an application against a random attack to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We plan to have different scenarios, just like in regard to a simulation program, as they do in the military and also the police department, to have different scenarios with multiple attackers, home invasion, a barroom setting, and also in a war room setting. SetVR will push you maximally to your limits in self-defense. We recently updated our program with kicking, punching, kicking combination, and with knife attacks. As you know, with all the martial arts and with self-defense knife attacks, we've been trained close and close up. Knife attacks are very deadly. We've had a program whereby we have instituted a knife attack program. We plan to have future updates with random virtual matches. Say Professor Gary Lee can have a virtual match with AJ the Wolverine, or even with AJ said King Kong or Godzilla, or with any of his guest speakers. So at different times during the day, different parts of the world, different parts of the country, and learn from each other while practicing your skills in self-defense. We've implemented a program of metrics whereby you can record the number of punches, number of blocks, number of evasions, whether you're right or left side dominant, and record the endurance as time spent in the experience. You'll be able to learn the importance of creating a diversion when you grasp the attacker's arms or wrists to create a 1-3 second pause, a natural response, a window of opportunity for neutralization. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, exercises, and also we present you with your own personal yoga instructor. We will continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice to maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be a future platform for his vision of the history portal. With that being said, some few words, Professor Gary Lee, about the history portal.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. Reginald Lee. But imagine a village, and you walk to this village, and you can learn a lot of things. We'll have questions and answers, and you'll learn what is the difference of Kempo and Kempo. What is the difference of Taekwondo and Taekwondo? Who is Jean LaBelle? Who is Golly Bum? A.J. Perry? Whatever. We're going to teach you about American sport karate as you go through this village. Eventually, you'll walk out to a forest, and in virtual reality, there'll be the waterfalls with the snakes and tigers or whatever, but the hologram will appear, and you'll have to defeat it, and you will. And then a wisdom warrior will appear, and they'll say, okay, A.J. Perry, are you educated? And A.J. will look at his backpack. He's answered all the questions he thought. you have to go back. And that's what the wisdom warrior will say to him. You have to go back. So Iggy will go back and get smarter and smarter. What is the difference of kung fu and gung fu? Who is Jingle Bell? Whatever. He's going to get smarter and smarter and smarter about American sport karate. And then he goes out into the forest again. The hologram appears. This time it's the samurai with a katana. Wakasashi and a concept with a short knife. He'll have to defeat it with Okinawa weapons from Kabuto, Nunchuk, Sai, Kama, whatever. He'll learn the difference between Okinawa karate and Japanese karate. The wisdom warrior will appear again. He'll say, okay, AJ Perry, are you educated? This time he is. And that wisdom warrior will take his hand to the portals. And the portals will walk you through the history of individuals. So we're going to start with the core. Alan Steen, J. Pat Burleson, Mike Stone, Patrick McCarthy, Vicky Morrow, George Minshew. I just name a few. Then every month, it'll be progressive. There'll be a new history general. Someone new and different in American sport karate that you'll learn by earning the privilege of getting beat up by the hologram, or you decide to beat it up. But nonetheless, go to SETVR.APP and check it out. It's really, really, really cool. So, Dr. Lee, thank you for being on the air. And
Gary,
people are going to be excited about this. AJ, is that you?
Yes, it is. You know, you have the wisdom warrior. You need a village idiot.
Oh, don't. A village idiot.
No, you know, what Dr. Lee was saying, you know, the point remains is that using a set VR is a lot of fun. I was watching the kids in Houston or North Carolina, you know, do it, and they didn't want to take it off. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah. They just loved it.
Well, it's fun, it's educational, and it's going to be progressive. It's going to teach people, so it's a good workout, too. So, Dr. Lee, thank you for being on the air, and we'll be on every week until October, where you and Rick is going to be in Houston with the on-hand demonstration of the Oculus Quest and VR that app. So, that's going to be exciting. Reggie, you take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Have a good evening.
God bless you. Now, another segment that we do on this radio show that's gotten real popular is called 3 Minutes with the Wolverine. Now, if you don't know who the Wolverine is, that's the alias of my student, Dean Piles. Now, the Wolverine is kind of cool. He says what he means what he says, and I guarantee you the Wolverine can back it up. Now, Wolverine, are you there?
Yeah, hey, yeah, here, hey, hang on just a second.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what it takes to be remembered. What's the Wolverine feel it takes to be remembered?
Okay, so, you know, there's several ways to being remembered. You know, Mr. Bowen brought up a point that, you know, he does the books of people that are touching people's lives. Well, you know, if you're a martial arts instructor, one of your main points should be, you know, touching people's lives. You know, and being remembered by your students, you know, setting a legacy. The other is, you know, competition. You know, a lot of people that are mentioned and a lot of people that are, you know, like on the cover of books, covers of magazines, you know, TV things, whatever, you know, they're super competitors, you know, like Chuck Norris, he's a great mentor to people, but he's also a super competitor. But he touches a lot of lives also. But when you think of Chuck Norris, one of the first things you think about is he's a BA fighter. Joe Louis, same thing. He's a BA fighter. First thing you think about, man, Joe Louis could fight, but he touched a lot of lives. He left a huge legacy. He's got a lot of
okay. Hey.
In his, yeah.
That's okay. Go for it.
Okay, so... So, you know, he left that legacy. Bill Wallace, the same thing. You know, Bill Wallace, he's a great fighter. Linda Denley, great fighter. All these people, but and they still touch people's lives through their training. You know, I feel like that's part of what you need to do is a twofold. you know, you if you, you know, everybody don't have to be a competitor, and everybody's not cut out to be a competitor. That doesn't mean they're not a great martial artist in any stretch of the imagination. And they can go out and touch lots of lives and do things via seminars and maybe even training fighters that were great fighters. So the main thing I'm trying to say is, it, you know, to be remembered, be a good person, do your best to do the right thing and teach people, you know, and point people in the right direction and not just try to lead with your ego or use your ego, but to get people to go the right direction so that they have something. And that's like I was talking about earlier with leading from the front. You know, if you lead from the front, when you're gone, people's going to talk about that. We talk about Joe Louis. He was someone that led from the front. Bill Wallace leads from the front. You know, Jerry Pendleton. You know, Mr. Smith. You know, all those guys. They're all leading from the front, you know, where they're leaving a legacy. They're showing you how it's done. They've got that road laid out in front of them. They show a kind face to the world, but they're ready to war if they need to be. And, you know, some of these guys are the best of both worlds. They're the best of the competitors competitors can be, and they're also some of the best instructors, seminar teachers, mentors, life coaches that are out there. So, you know, when you want to leave that legacy in the martial arts, do the right thing. Treat people right. Number one thing is keep God first. If you keep God first, then you're gonna stay more in the narrow doing the right thing. Don't do things for ego. And if you do things for money, then you're not really doing it for, you know, your legacy or to leave a legacy or to be remembered. You're doing it for that dollar. Do things because you want to leave the world just a little bit better than it was when you got here. And if you don't do nothing, you touch a couple students, and they're able to go out and continue to do that, that's the main thing. And the best way to be remembered is by letting people know you can take care of business, but you're there for your student. If you have to be up in the cage 1 minute screaming at somebody or the boxing ring or on the competition floor, you know, pushing a student, and then the next minute maybe down on a knee working with a five-year-old, you know, that's what you have to do to be remembered. And, you know, history, the Sport Karate Museum is an amazing place because it's bringing together people and keeping people right there, bringing in people that are, you know, obviously it's about sport karate and competition, but you bring in all kinds of people that instruct, that teach, that do different things, and, you know, you bring in both worlds together. And that's an amazing thing, and we're glad you got it there, Professor.
Well, thank you, Wolverine. But I want to say something. You know, next week we're getting an award, me and you and AJ, for doing this show. And I want to appreciate 3 minutes with the Wolverine because, you know, we'll be talking about some really cool stuff, upcoming shows. But your alias, the Wolverine, is important because I know I can't keep a lease on you all the time, but the Wolverine, I take the lease off, and you can just go crazy. But, you know, I think
like going to church. It's just like going to church, sir. If the pastor ain't stepping on your toes, you ain't got a good preacher. You know, they're going to step on your toes sometimes, and you got to have, in the martial arts world, you got to have thick skin. You can't take criticism. You missed the first lesson of the day.
Yes, sir. Well, God bless you. I'll see you next week. So thank you, Wolverine.
God.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was a Wolverine with 3 minutes, and we talk about some really cool topics. But coming on with my special guest, Steve Muhammad. Are you there, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do the legend's name game. I'm with you with the name, and you got 2 minutes, you know, to talk about the person. Here we go, the first person. Chuck Norris.
Oh, Chuck Norris. He's not only a great person, he was a great man to me. I remember fighting in a tournament one time, and Chuck, they had a few other people around that was judging my match, and they wouldn't give me a point. And Chuck Norris kept yelling, "Give the man his point! Give the man his point!" And he kept yelling, and nobody else would say anything. But I went over to him, and when I went over to him, he said, man, I just like that. And he says, whoever can fight and win, you allow them to do so. So because of that, I admired him, but also he could fight. One of the best fighters I've ever seen.
Okay, here's another one for you. Bill Wallace.
Oh, Bill Wallace, he's funny.
Hamburgers
he's
and ice cream.
Funny, but Bill can fight. He's an excellent fighter. And he's hard when you go, or him and Joe. But I found that Bill Wallace would give more problems than Joe would give. And I was still excited about fighting those guys, but they were good fighters.
Yeah. One of my teammates was a million-dollar baby. Did you ever get to meet Alvin Prouder?
That was my student.
Really? I didn't realize that. Cool. Tell me about Alvin. How you feel about Alvin?
Yes, he was my student. He came to me when he was about 8 or 9 years old, I believe. And that must have been about
a heck of a contender.
10 years later before he started fighting full contact.
Yes. Well, we were Raiders together, and I really, really loved Alvin. Now, thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Steve. Now, again, how do people get in touch with you if they want a virtual class or get in touch with you in Atlanta? How would they get in touch with you?
Okay, again, Professor Garrett, you can go to our website, www.karateofthegods, that's with the S on the end of gods.com, and that's all one word, karateofthegods.com, and you also can find him on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, thank you, Connie. Thank you for
You're welcome.
Saying that, because that's a mouthful, and I appreciate it so much. And
sure,
God bless you.
You
guys, and I hope to see you maybe in October where we can honor you and the girls. And I'll call you, Steve, and thank you so much for your time tonight. Really meant a lot.
Great interview.
Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That was AJ, my Yankee cracker friend. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been our show tonight. And I want to say thank you so much for everybody that's been on the air tonight, and welcome back, Dr. Williams. We missed him so much, but I hope his injury gets better. And yes, and God bless Karen and Dee Chambers and AJ Dean, and of course Dr. Reginald Lee, and the producer of our show, Hunky Jesse Bowen. We want to say thank you to everybody that listens to us weekly, and if you want to pass it on, you just go to Google. Type in AMAA Radio and the date of the show you want to listen to or my name, and it'll come up. So thank you for listening for the Parts Unknown and the AMAA Masters and Pioneers Radio Network. And please, if more information about the Power of Women, you can go to my website, or you can go to Facebook, or you can go to Messenger, or you just call me, 713-483-0476. And as we always say every week, mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Gary.
Good night, sir.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Good night.